If nothing matters, then all the pain and guilt you feel for making zombie takeout goes away.
Hello and welcome to episode 488 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we got to talk about the Weird Al trailer. You just showed me the Funny or Die sketch from 9 years ago. I'm hoping it was made by the same guy, the director of the new upcoming movie, did work at Funny or Die. So it's got to be they are the same story.
Yes, like there's some of the same components.
Yeah, say Weird Al played a record executive in the Funny or Die sketch. I watched it the first time. This is the trailer for the upcoming movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it at first. I thought it was just some, like, ridiculous, like, hatchet job on Weird Al. Because in the trailer, you know, he has an affair with Madonna and he's drug addicted and all of this. And Al is, I want to say notoriously, even though that's the wrong word, clean and sober. His only addiction is sugar. He's been very open about that.
Like, vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Teetotaling.
Right.
I mean.
So, you know, I didn't get it until I watched the trailer. I saw Al. I noticed at the end that Al was playing the record company executive.
Yes. That he puts the cigarette out on his hand.
And then I scrolled down the comments and someone finally clued me in. It's a parody of biopics.
And what else would Weird Al do? You know,
exactly. It's perfect.
I think the first teaser that came out, I was kind of going, oh God, I hope this is a parody and not like a serious movie.
Yeah. It's the perfect Weird Al biopic because it's a parody of biopics.
Right. It's like every other Weird Al song where sometimes it took like a minute to realize it was the Weird Al version of the song and not a series, not the actual original.
So that'll be a lot of fun. It's a Roku channel movie.
What the fuck is that?
I have a Roku. I've been using a Roku for like a decade, about three or four of them. So I will definitely have access. I hope other people will, you know, through some way. I hope you don't need a Roku to watch it.
I was going
to
say, I know what a Roku is, but I mean, does everybody have a channel? Does like my Mr. Coffee have a channel?
On the Roku, probably. Like, people can make their own channels, so there's channels for fucking everything.
Yeah.
I think we had a channel briefly.
Even we had a channel?
Actually, no. We had an iOS app. That's right. For a bit. Anyway, that'll be fun. Again, hopefully everybody has access to wherever it's showing. And now on to this week's movie, which is from 2022, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Both things we're reviewing for this week are from this year. I think that's first.
I think we've done it maybe once or twice before, but not many. It is very rare.
And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by The Bagel. Be one with everything and nothing.
And also brought to you by San Fernando Major's Coin Laundry. Your clothes will be left in a happier place, even if no one else there is happy. All right, so we have a laundromat that is teetering on the brink of foreclosure. And taxes. Well, it's teetering on
foreclosure because of taxes.
Because of taxes. I think some people have listed the plot as woman does her taxes.
Yeah.
Which is really funny. Because, it's pretty close to that.
Watch Hitchhiker's Guide and The Matrix. Listen to some Opie and Anthony. And then just insert a bunch of weird shit.
Opie and Anthony, huh? Where do you get Opie and Anthony out of it?
Butt plug.
Oh. I don't know if I would get that from Opie and Anthony, but
it's just the first thing I go to with Opie and Anthony. more on that later. Yes, that is an actual thing from the movie.
Yes. So, she's having problems with her daughter, too. She's just not communicating with her well and kind of making things really awkward with her relationship with her girlfriend, and of course it's, you know, just not telling her father what's going on either.
The daughter wants to come out to her grandfather. The mother is very resistant to that.
The mother is resistant to do anything with the father, like telling him truthfully what's going on with the business.
Right.
You learn later, though, that he pretty much disowned her for a while to come over here and do this laundromat business. Right. And I guess to admit that it's failure would almost be admitting that he was correct, which, I mean... Yeah, that's a thing, you know. Kids want to stick, stick. I'm doing this and I'm winning,
yeah.
Even if they're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough thing to admit that you haven't won.
Right.
So they all pile. Well, not all of them, because she chases the daughter away. The daughter was supposed to come with them to the IRS office, and to help translate, and she does not. So the three of them are there on their own when things start getting weird. She starts getting messages pretty much from another universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the option to just leave this universe behind and to join them in their fight against something or other.
Some sort of multiverse-ending threat.
Yes, yes, that there's a threat across all of the universes, and that this is from the Alphaverse, and they're on this, and they're looking to recruit someone that could possibly take this down. So we have a lot of fights that kind of go in and out of the universes. You know, it's a bit hard to follow in the beginning as to what's going on, because they are dealing with, I think, three different universes at the same time, if I'm not mistaken.
I lost count.
It's just in the beginning. After that, of course, it goes on.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, they're dealing with three different universes. You have the Alphaverse. You've got the universe where the Alphaverse people were in that was starting to get fucked up.
Right.
And then you've got this universe that we've been following. Yeah. So, yes, in the first half hour, there are three universes going on at the same time, and it's tough to follow, but you get some fights, and you get the story that it is actually her daughter who is the evil threat. Her daughter from another universe has pretty much gone through every universe, or almost every universe.
It was actually, remembering now, it was her daughter in the Prime universe.
Okay, in her daughter from the Alpha universe?
Because they forced her in to become I don't know if they had a word, but for to jump through all these universes, and they basically pushed her too hard to do this, and she cracked.
So it is the story of the parent pushing the kid too hard again. Is that what they mean by Jobu Tupaki, or I put my notes originally, Jobu Tataki?
Jobu Tupaki is Evelyn, Michelle Yeoh's character's daughter in another universe, who just basically experienced too many universes too quickly and got to this point where she could not distinguish between them, and she cracked and turned evil.
Right, or not even necessarily evil as much as just
malistic.
Yeah, it's not fair. We see a lot of different universes and different possibilities of Evelyn's life, with or without her husband, or just in different forms of their relationship, and we see a lot of fighting, of course, and I think we could say hilarity ensues, couldn't we? Because like, plot-wise, like, what really happens here?
Yeah.
You know?
It wraps up with a nice family moment and some resolution between the mother and daughter in, you know, in the original universe, in quote-unquote our universe, I guess you could say. But yeah, that's basically it. This is the second time I've seen the movie. I saw it, you know, some months ago. I was underwhelmed the first time, because it had been ridiculously overhyped to me. Everybody who I had seen or heard from who had seen it fucking adored it.
Yeah.
So there was no way I was going to be, you know, coming away from it just as impressed, because my expectations were ridiculous. Lennon this time, having seen it, reasonable expectations. I think I liked it even less.
Oh, yeah?
I have the same problem, I realized this morning, I have the same problem with this movie that I have with Shred Guitar. I know that sounds like a weird comparison.
I'm trying to think of Shred Guitar.
I can sum it up with an even going to an even weirder place. A line from a song that coincidentally was covered by the band whose album we'll be reviewing on the hearing tonight. You're talking a lot, but you're not saying anything. You know, when I first started playing guitar in my early teens back in 85, I wanted to be a shredder. I just didn't have the patience to put the time in. Turns out I have ADHD. Many years later, I was playing with this guitarist who was very good at it. He gave me some pointers, and I realized I have no desire to play like that because it's a lot of repeated notes and a lot of noise just to appear fast. This movie throws a lot of shit at you that does nothing to serve the plot.
I'm not sure if it does throw... Well, it does in a way, but the story in itself is very simple about the family dynamic and just existence, you know?
It makes some very good points.
Yeah.
It's just too much. It tries to be... I feel like it wants to be impressed with itself.
It does deliver on the title, honestly. Yeah. It really is everything everywhere all at once. It sold itself, you know.
To me, a lot of it just comes off as contrived. Like, look what we can do.
I don't know. You know, it's kind of cool because it's very Douglas Adams, of course.
Yeah, it's reason for the title this week. Going back, I realized this takes a lot from Hitchhikers. And when we get into the chronological description, I'll point out a few things specifically that are very Hitchhiker's Guide.
You know, like the switching to universes is very Douglas Adams.
Yeah.
It's almost like his description of how to fly. Yeah, where you jump at the ground and miss.
The other title I'd thought of was Hitchhiker's Guide to the Multiverse, because that's basically what the movie is.
Yeah.
But with a heavy Matrix reference. I don't think you mentioned this in the plot summary. What she learns when she's, tasked to fight this multiverse-ending evil that turns out to be her daughter is that she can access other versions of herself throughout the multiverse and take their skills.
Right.
Which is very much like Neo in the Matrix being programmed to have different skills. It opens nicely. We get a nice glimpse of the other universe right away. We'll say Michelle Yeoh and Kiwi Kwan, perfectly cast.
Yeah.
Actually, everybody in this movie, this is one thing I can't criticize, everybody knocks it out of the fucking park.
And for me, one of the big problems was that first half hour. For me, this doesn't really kick off until you get Fanny Pack Fu.
Yeah. I liked the beginning. It was just a nice, calm setup. The chaos in the laundromat with all the customers, it gets a little French farce. It's nicely choreographed.
Yeah.
We get a nice early hint of the other Waymond if you look at a monitor behind Evelyn.
Yes. You kind of like, wait, what's going on there?
Uh-huh. And going into it a second time, I can see Joy in the main universe, how she turned into Jobo. You can kind of see her real life, or the one we start following, how she's kind of on a parallel path.
Yeah.
Particularly when Evelyn stops her from coming out to her grandfather. She doesn't know. They're all Chinese, of course. Chinese-American. Well, Joy is Chinese-American. She's born here.
Right.
The other two born in China. Evelyn and her husband. Waymond. But Joy is searching for the words in Chinese to introduce her girlfriend, Becky, as her girlfriend. And Evelyn steps in and says they're good friends. And at that moment, you can kind of see like, okay, this is where I can see her, how she's going to break bed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course, I mean, seeing it for the first time, you have no idea just what the ramifications
of that are. Right, this is all coming from a second view.
You're just thinking, it is a shitty thing to do to someone.
Mm-hmm. And this is broken into three sections, everything, based on the title, Everything, Everywhere, and All at Once.
Which was a nice touch. I wasn't expecting them to actually break that down. I don't know if it actually makes sense to
No.
break it down in that way.
And the titles were very Python,
Yeah.
which was a nice nod. I like the first time we see the other universe Waymond in the elevator when he changes. That was very nicely done.
Oh yeah, and the device of him using the glasses versus not using the glasses to signify the switch was nice too, to keep us in the in the loop.
This film marks Kihei Kwan's return to acting, from which he had retired in 2002 due to lack of opportunities.
Wow.
So I'm glad he's back.
Yeah.
He played Short Round in whichever Indiana Jones the movie that
Temple of
was,
Doom.
Temple of Doom. Also was in The Goonies.
Yeah.
So yeah, he is amazing in this movie.
Yeah, he does so many different things. From, kind of, just nice guy to, he's never a badass in any of them, but he's just, in different modes of success, really,
He's more the prime, or I keep saying prime, Alpha Waymond is much more serious and
Yeah.
desperate. I'll call the universe who start in prime, just for simplicity. Prime
Okay.
Waymond is very caring and empathetic and nurturing. And I don't know if we see any others of him. Oh no, we get the CEO, as they call him,
Yeah.
the rich version, who is,
In the opera universe.
he's kind of the James Bond version, and not in the secret agent sense, but in that he's wearing a tux and he's got that very pulled together, ladies' man kind of vibe. Playing those three vastly different characters, who are basically the same guy, so distinctly was very impressive.
And then I picked up on the references to bagels and had no idea, much like the butt plugs, I mean, I spotted the awards were butt plugs right away, but just like that, and the bagel references, had no idea that they were actually going to come back and be used in different ways.
Jobu put everything on a bagel, literally everything.
Which there is a story, I meant to look it up, that I've been reading my nephew, who's like, 7. It's about a pizza with everything, and it causes like a vortex in the
Oh
universe.
wow. Is that story older than this movie?
I don't know.
Because it sounds like very much the same thing. She puts literally everything on a bagel, and it basically becomes a black hole.
Yeah, a pizza with everything on it. By Kyle Scheel, and it's from last year, so kind of around the same time they were making this, probably.
Probably not an influence, but
Yeah.
common idea. But I also liked when she first, finds out about the alternate universes. We get this kind of biographical montage explaining how, she became another version of herself.
Yeah.
And it nicely kind of shows the different paths that she could have gone down.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I've always thought the multiverse idea is just ridiculous. I
We've
mean,
talked about this off air.
it's just this, it's the equivalent of believing the universe revolves around the Earth. I mean, to suggest that humans can create an entire different universe is just absurd.
I've looked into it a little bit. It's not what it is, what's presented in movie, in fiction, of course. That's
Right.
a much different thing than the actual many worlds interpretation.
Well, right. There could very well be multiple universes out there, but it probably has jack shit to do with us,
The many
like
worlds
everything else.
interpretation has no actual empirical evidence, of course, but the math makes sense and it explains some things.
Sure.
Much like dark matter, we've never found it, but it explains some things.
And it is entirely possible, but yeah, it would most likely be determined by other things than a bunch of monkeys on a planet.
Should mention Jamie Lee Curtis is in this film playing the IRS agent,
God damn.
and one of the multiverse nemeses that Evelyn has to go up against. She's
Really
amazing.
enjoyed Jamie Lee Curtis in this movie.
Yeah, she's brilliant in this film. And she's showing off these awards at one point behind her desk, kind of, you know, bragging, and they kind of foreshadow the butt plug scene there.
Yeah, I was like, those look a
Yeah.
lot like, you know. And I just thought it was a goofy choice to do that, not realizing
Yeah.
they had plans for them.
I think the first time I probably saw it, I just thought of Facebook ads.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you get them, but I watch a lot of coffee stuff on YouTube. I'm kind of a coffee addict.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of ads for very suggestive looking, espresso tampers that actually do legitimately look like butt plugs. Yeah, so I see them. I just think of those Facebook ads. And I've seen other people
Can't
posting
say I get ads like that.
similar Facebook ads that look very suggestive in a similar way. And her character Deidre being this multiverse villain was a great twist. I love when Evelyn decks her,
Yeah.
because it's Michelle Kwan. When she throws a punch, it looks legit. Even when
Michelle
she's
Yeoh.
playing someone who doesn't know how to really throw a punch.
Yeoh, Michelle Yeoh.
Yes, what did I say?
Kwan.
Oh, I'm sorry, Michelle Yeoh. I mixed the two names. Also, all of women's transformations were great. Again, as much as I'm gonna bag on this movie in a little bit, the cast was amazing.
Yeah.
Particularly Kiwi Kwan. The fanny pack scene
Oh
was a
yeah.
fucking masterpiece.
Yeah, that definitely brought it some brainage there.
I think that's like a full brain for me, and the cast is a full brain, and I'm not there's not gonna be many more. But that scene is a masterpiece. All of the fight scenes that weren't intended to impress Beavis and Butthead,
I
I
liked
enjoyed.
most of the fight scenes. I
Well,
think
yeah,
the
I
only
loved all
one.
of them except for the ones that, like I said, were got a little bit. When Jobu turns the nightsticks into dildos.
Yeah, the Jobu scene, I wasn't that big a fan of.
I loved her stuff because it was just so utterly ridiculous until, and I think even the first time I saw the movie, when she turned the nightsticks into dildos, I'm like, okay, that's funny. Then they get to the butt plug, and I just. And then there's an S&M thing later.
Oh
It's.
yeah, that was kind of like out of nowhere and weird, but you know.
I. As I've said, I spend a lot of time in the more interesting corners of the internet, so shock value just kind of bores me.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't all that impressed with it either, really. It just didn't seem like it went, you know?
Going back to the fanny pack scene, though. I love how ceremonious he was about eating the chapstick.
And everyone's just going, what's he doing? And it's great because at this point you don't understand why he's doing what he's doing, but they do go and explain it
Yeah,
later.
the trigger for accessing other versions of you throughout the multiverse is to do something that I think it mirrors somewhat another version of you would do.
It improbability drive kind
It's
of thing.
basically the improbability drive. Yeah.
Yes.
Jobu was the improbability drive.
Yeah. All they were missing was the whale saying, not again.
And Kwee Kwan, not only his acting was amazing, his fight choreography was really good.
Oh God, yeah.
Because he's not known for like fight scenes. I mean, they used a double for a good portion of it, but there was quite a bit where you could see his face, and he was nailing the choreography.
Yeah.
And connecting your consciousness to another version of you from the multiverse was a nice twist, or was a nice novel way of doing it. It saved on effects budgets. You didn't have to go into another universe.
Right.
They spared you that. And I like how the Alphaverse has all of the other versions of Waymond cataloged. So they can just, tell him over an earpiece, like, okay, do this to access this version of yourself.
And yeah, they were just doing all of these crazy things. It
Yeah,
was kind of, it was a good bit.
they
I
were
could have
called
seen
jumping
Douglas
paths.
Adams doing
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about Hitchhiker's Guide a lot.
Speaking of Douglas Adams, I love the hot dog finger verse.
Yeah.
And I like that it, well, first, I like the parody of the 2001 scene.
Oh, yeah, with the apes.
Where the hot dog fingered ape kills the non-hot dog fingered ape, and that's how our evolution continues. And then, of course, they make a dramatic relationship in the hot dog fingerverse.
Deirdre and Evelyn in that universe are a couple.
Yeah.
So in one scene, Deirdre, who had become this basically monster, like she still looked like herself, but she was very animalistic, jumps down a flight of stairs toward Evelyn to beat the shit out of her. And Evelyn's jump path is to tell Deirdre that she loves her. And then that'll give Evelyn the martial arts skill that she needs. And it's just in the nick of time that she says it appropriately, you know, convincingly enough.
And that leads her to this relationship, yeah.
And then we really get to see Michelle Yeoh fight. It's very brief. It's like 45 minutes in, but, you know, to see Michelle Yeoh do a fight scene, totally worth it.
And right, and we get some good ones out of her. Like, I like the pizza box fight scene.
Yeah.
Or pizza box / shield.
Yeah, the she taps into a sign spinner at one point, and that was clever.
Yeah.
Rolling back a bit before that scene where she has to tell Deirdre that she loves her, we have Deirdre, you know, running from, or Evelyn running from Deirdre, and then suddenly she jumps into an RV, like she switches consciousnesses into a version of herself in an RV with Waymond from earlier in the movie.
Oh, which I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, because they're in the RV.
Yeah, having come from the IRS appointment. It was just a little cliche to kind of pull her out of the fight scene like that.
Oh, right. And that's when they were in the other universe where they were actually leaving the tax office.
Right.
And going back to
where she didn't divorce. Duck Deirdre.
Yeah.
We also didn't need to see Jobu's backstory, I don't think. I think it might have been better if she was just randomly weird and evil.
Maybe. I think it kind of serves the purpose of the overall, you know, message of the movie.
It does. Because the parents pushing her too far. That's true. We needed that.
Honestly, the main problem I have with the movie more than anything else, though, is just a lot of the behavior to me looks like it mirrors somebody having a psychotic break.
Interesting.
You know?
The original version of the script, it was going to be Evelyn's ADHD.
Right.
Until they realized it's kind of problematic and offensive to people with ADHD.
But the whole, you know, being told to kill her daughter and stuff, It's just, you know, and I get it. It's a movie. It's escapism. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. But, man. I don't know.
It does mirror that, yeah.
There's events that have happened around my family. Mm-hmm. Not in my family, but, you know, people that we know that very within the past few weeks had mirrored this kind of, and it was like, the timing, no.
Mm-hmm. Fair point.
I get it. It's entertainment and stuff, but it's like, how far north of zero are we willing to accept somebody, you know, having their illness reinforced by something in some way?
Speaking of something similarly problematic, I guess, we have James Hahn playing Evelyn's father. Love James Hahn.
Yeah.
The Alpha Gong Gong, which is his name, is amazing.
Yes.
But he didn't need to be in a wheelchair.
I think he was in it for the, just the speed more than anything else. Mm. Like, he didn't need to be in it.
James Hahn doesn't use a wheelchair.
Right.
We see him walking early in the film. And, it made sense to put him in one to go to the IRS agent. Because it's a lot of walking. I get that. But then Alpha Gong Gong is always in the chair. It wasn't necessary.
I think he got out. Didn't he have, like a mech suit kind of thing?
I don't remember that.
I think so. When he went like after her and like, you know, he gets up out of the chair and then he starts like walking with this mech kind
of thing. Yeah. Right. Later in the film, right. Yeah.
But I think it was largely to have like a speedy action kind of thing, which he would not be able to pull off
right.
on his own.
But I liked Alpha Gong Gong's personality. It's your classic angry kind of gruff James Hong character.
Yeah. Cartwright?
Loved the dog fight.
No.
You have this one adversary using, has this little tiny, you know, dog on a leash, and she uses the dog as a weapon.
A solid stand-up comedian named Jenny Slate.
Okay. I saw her name. I didn't quite know who she was. Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
The butt plug scene, just unnecessary.
Definitely a strange fight scene. I don't know. I mean, of course, we're not going to be shocked, but it was just kind of like a, huh, yeah. They really went there, huh?
And I have seen reviewers that I respect raving about the butt plug scene. Like, you're shocked by it? Like, it was just such an obvious, look what we did.
I liked the pixelation.
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny, actually. Yeah.
Some of the jumping paths just got silly and pointless.
Oh, like when they're just showing everything, like I don't know how many different clips on her face.
Yeah.
God knows what they have in there. You know, I'm sure somebody will write it in a book or post it somewhere.
This movie was kind of like a reverse Squonk. Instead of like alive at both ends and a little dead in the middle, it's a little mellow at the ends, but the middle is just ridiculously jam-packed.
I did like the rock scenes.
Yeah, again, Super Adams. Like, I think they may have directly ripped that from something.
I'm thinking Rubber.
Okay, yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Rubber.
I liked Jobu's head tilt. It was just a nice subtle choice. She has this quick head tilt she does to kind of just establish that it's Jobu instead of Joy.
Right.
That was just a nice choice, a nice character moment. The false ending was a nice touch.
You kind of knew there was...
Yeah. I mean, obviously there was enough time left for there to be more of a movie, but it was just a nice kind of what? I think the part of the reason the movie annoys me is because everyone else seems to love it. I mean, yourself accepted. I think you're probably going to rate it higher than I am.
Yeah.
But you're not raving about it. And like I said last week, it's because we have slightly different movie diets.
Well, I think the positives about it are, of course, it is a good martial arts movie, I'm always a sucker for.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, a martial arts Douglas Adams movie, you know, where can you go wrong with that, honestly?
Yeah.
And to top it off, though, I wound up genuinely caring about the characters, which I can't remember the last movie I've seen where I actually gave a fuck about the characters and really wanted to see them in a place of peace at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked the overall story. I loved Rich Wayman's line about how seeing the good side of things is strategic and necessary.
And yeah, they don't really spell out what they're going for in it, you know?
Kind of toward the end. The Joy, the daughter, is kind of struggling with nihilism.
Yeah.
And becoming nihilistic. And the actress is probably around 30. I think the character's meant to be like early 20s.
Yeah, something like that.
So it's at that age when you think about that. And I think we also might be a little older than the target demo.
Yeah, that's a safe bet too. The penises, the butt plugs, you know. Yeah.
And also just, I think most people, once they get past like 25, 30, have dealt with the nihilism thing. And the whole, you know, how, you know, nothing really matters, all of that shit.
Right. I think what they're going for, but they don't actually come out and say it, was that if there are only a few moments here and there where things all make sense, cherish those moments.
Right.
Those moments do matter, and they're super valuable because they are so rare. And yeah, it's true.
This movie reminded me of a line from an Angel episode that I haven't thought about in a while. And yes, Joss Whedon is a piece of shit, but he's written some good stuff, including this line. If nothing we do matters, then all that matters is what we do.
Yeah, it is a way of saying that, you know, like when nothing matters, everything matters too at the same time.
Oh, incidentally, Jackie Chan was originally going to play the lead. It's who it was written for. It was later reworked and offered to Michelle Yeoh because they thought putting a woman in the lead role and would make the husband and wife dynamic more relatable.
Yeah, definitely. 'Cause yeah, I don't know. It would have been weird with Jackie Chan.
Would have, and also I think strategically just ended it up being, not because they planned it or anything, but Michelle Yeoh's a hotter property right now.
I think it would have been great if they were both in it, but I think they did great with this here. He probably left because of the humor that they wanted to do.
Well,
That's
not, I don't
definitely.
think he was offered to him. I think they just wrote it for him and then just realized, no, a woman would be a better choice, and so they switched it
Oh,
to Michelle
okay.
Yeoh. She's a hotter property thanks to a couple seasons of Discovery.
Yeah.
Chan, I don't remember the last thing he did that was relevant. All due respect, he's a legend, but I don't, he hasn't, been relevant in a while.
Well, yeah, he's up there too, you know?
They can't be far apart, though, because they started
That's
together
true.
in Hong Kong action movies.
They did. You're right.
I think he's just taken more abuse.
Yeah, he has. She has not done the stunts
She
that
hasn't
he
taken the
has.
abuse that he has, so
It's broken everything.
right. Also, not casting him gave Kiwi Kwan a chance, and he's probably my favorite part of the movie.
And hopefully this is a renaissance for him.
I desperately hope he gets a lot more work coming off of this.
James Hong has definitely had a lot of offers from this movie too.
And I'd like to see more of, I'm guessing on this pronunciation, Stephanie Hsu, the daughter, Joy, Jobu.
She's in a few things.
Yeah, she was really good. I'd like to see her earn more.
Mrs. Maisel and
Okay, that I need to see, because there are some people in that show that I really like.
you can't go wrong with Shalhoub.
And of course, Michelle Yeoh is a
Yeah.
legend. She's amazing and everything. Miss her on Star Trek.
Well, aren't they giving her a spin-off? I thought
They
they
are
talked about that.
eventually. She's getting a Section 31 show, but it's kind of in development hell at the moment.
And that's, of course, that's a good Star Trek story to tell,
Yeah,
because, I
oh yeah.
mean, there was so much on the table from that.
No sequels or remakes because it's from this year, and I don't think anyone could remake it.
They should, yeah, this should
No, you
never
leave
have a
this one alone.
sequel or remake. This should be a one and done.
Oh yeah.
Because then you're going to detract from the whole overall meaning of it.
On the brains.
On to brains.
The cast, without exception, knocked it out of the fucking park. The non-sexual fight scenes were amazing. And I think the story is nice overall. It's just they just throw so much shit at it. I'm going three.
And that's fair. I'm going four. I mean, there's a few kinks that we didn't need, pun
Literally.
intended. And the beginning could have worked a little faster, but I think I understand why they had the beginning that way. And I'd watch this again though, because I'm sure you do pick up a lot of stuff in that first half hour.
And what have we learned?
We learned that googly eyes make everything better.
That was a nice touch, the googly eye being. Actually, I saw this, I think, in a What You Missed kind of video. It's the opposite of a bagel.
What, the googly
The
eyes?
googly eyes were the opposite of the bagel, were the negative, where they there was a hole, there was a thing in the middle, empty on the outside.
And then you fill that with googly
Yeah,
eyes.
well, that's the thing, it's the opposite of the bagel. Anyway,
Huh.
I learned that it's a major award. I'm so proud of myself for not going for that reference earlier. And that's it for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Star Trek Nemesis. Back to track with what might be the worst. I mean, it's a tough call between that and five, but
Five has its moments.
five has its moments, and I'm sure I'll say that Nemesis does too. But I've seen it. I think it's the one I've seen the most recently, Kelvin aside. Love the Kelvin movies aside from the middle one. And it's just not good.
And have you watched Strange New Worlds? Because Five is actually referenced.
Interesting. I still need. I need to catch up on track in general.
Yes, you do.
Strange New Worlds, and I haven't even seen the first episode of Lower Decks yet. It's
Yeah,
been a
it's
weird
good.
week. Anyway, until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life. There you are.
There you are.